Welcome to Off Topic But On Point. I'm Odette Beer, and here we embrace the unscripted, the unconventional, and dare I say it, the unexpected. Because sometimes the best breakthroughs happen when you go off topic. Each episode, we dive into business, leadership, and life, exploring the moments that challenge us, shape us, and push us forward. So whether we're tackling entrepreneurship, collaboration, mindset, or even navigating resistance, one thing's for sure, we'll always bring it back to what matters. So get ready for candid perspectives, thoughtful insights that will keep you engaged, inspired, and maybe a little bit uncomfortable in the best possible way. As usual, I have with me my beautiful friends, Dr. Yanine de Kabul, also known as the Intentionalist, and Pastor Christo Pretorius, the Expander. Let's go.
Well, thank you for joining us today. Off Topic On Point. I'm really looking forward to our discussion. And thank you, Dr. Yanine, Odette, for once again, you know, having the time together. I'm looking really forward to it. I'm going to jump right into it. And so the other day, Simon Sinek said this to me. He said, you need to have strong convictions loosely held. You need to have strong convictions loosely held. Now, that literally stopped me in my tracks when I heard that. And I thought to myself, wow, I've always been a person that, you know, I want to be consistent. I want to be, you know, a person that has character integrity. You know, that, you know, what you say is what you're on. You don't change, you know, your beliefs, like you believe what you believe. And when he said that, it really hit me, and I started thinking, all right, so what are some of the beliefs that I have that I strongly hold that maybe I should hold a little bit loosely? And so I want to ask you the question is, what are some strong convictions that you have that maybe at times it should be held a little bit loosely? And the reason I'm asking this is that what it really means to me is, it's just that, you know, you need to remain open. You need to remain in this place where you can revise, you know, the things that you believe. And especially when you face maybe situations or circumstances where, like, there's new evidence that's been presented. So, what are some strong convictions that you have, but you maybe hold it a little bit loosely?
I can answer this. And my mom has this beautiful principle that she taught us from a very young age. And she says, if it does not hurt the soul. And what she means with that is that there is room for negotiation. We were not raised in the way that Akitsuka said, that's the end of it, no negotiation. As a small example that most parents deal with, it's time to go bath or go shower. Then you will go back, most parents will go back and be like, I told you to go shower. In our home, I could say, I've got 7 minutes left of this story. Can I finish it? Then go shower. Most of the time, my mom would have said yes. But the day she said no, I wouldn't have minded that either, because, you know what, the other days she said yes. Her mindset was, it's not going to hurt her soul to watch seven minutes longer and then go shower. It's not going to hurt their soul if we have dessert before mains. It's not exactly how you want to do it, but is it going to hurt the soul? So that was the principle, and that's where we made it kind of loosely. But what it helped me with was, in business, we can be such perfectionists, and it's good. But if we are so perfectionist, or if we are these great perfectionists, sometimes it delays our process because you don't launch, you don't do things. So is it going to hurt the soul to just launch that website and see where it goes? Is it going to hurt the soul to just launch that business and start imperfectly? So that would be, for me, one of the things that I would say. And then I had to really unlearn some things. The things that I've learned up to now is not always right. So I had to be loose in that as well.
Yeah, that's very true. You know, the things we've learned, not all of it is true. I actually said to somebody the other day, I think it's not that it's not so much true. It was just true at the time, you know, and it was needed at the time. And, you know, we should sometimes just have a look at the perspective and saying, all right, you know, it's not that we should throw everything we've learned in the past out, because what we've learned brought us to the place where we are today. So I think there's great value in that. But yeah, unlearning is a big part of what I'm also discovering lately in many things, you know. The way we used to do things, you know, it was right for the time. But, you know, times are changing. We need to move on. We need to evolve. We need to adapt. We need to look forward. Odette, from your side, what are some strong convictions?
That's not true. We had a conversation last week, and I rehashed that conversation this week. But one of the things that came up for me was the letter of the law versus the spirit. I grew up in a home where it was because I said so. So that was one of the things that I had to unlearn. And sometimes it is just because I said so. Okay? I'm a parent. That's my prerogative. But most of the time, for me, the question is, what's the letter trying to convey? It's the understanding there's the letter versus the spirit, and the spirit is actually more important. And I've had to pay attention to that because I like rules. I like structure. So for me, I get to the point where the letter versus the spirit had to really sink in for me. Some people draw from right to left. That's not wrong. It's just different. So that's mine.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I really like what you said about, you know, creating awareness. What do you think are some principles or some actions that you are taking to create awareness, you know, in these areas where it's a little bit more the letter and it's a little bit more strict? What are some of the things that you do just from an awareness perspective?
Awareness on what's it always starts with, why are we doing this? Why did we have the law in the first place? Laws don't exist in and of themselves, and they don't just appear out of nowhere. God created the earth. He said he made one law, and then Adam and Eve broke that one law. Guys, you had one job. Anyway, they broke that one law, and then when we got kicked out and sin came in, people started doing things that kind of maybe they shouldn't even have thought of doing, but they did. And then we started creating laws. Then we said, thou shalt not kill, because we didn't think to ourselves that maybe killing people is not a good idea. So we have to think about why did this thing start in the first place? The law didn't just appear out of nowhere and suddenly now there's this law. Someone did something that caused harm to someone else, because that's why you have a law, to protect someone or something. And we are now trying to protect that thing or person or entity. If that's the case, then the question is this thing we're doing still fit for purpose? When I worked at Hollard many, many years ago now, one of the leaders I had instituted a thing called Break a Stupid Rule, because rules made sense at the time. Pastor C, Dr. J, we all know when we were growing up, there were these things. Don't put your fingers in the socket.
Yeah.
Why not? Well, you're going to have a shocking experience. But now, I don't know, maybe it's different. We can't put our fingers in sockets in Australia. They're too flat. Your fingers don't fit. But don't try it. Anyway, when we had those rules or those laws initially, it was to protect us. But perhaps now it no longer protects you. And it's important for us to understand where it came from. Why was it instituted in the first place? What was it trying to do? And what was the context around that? And is that context still the same? Because quite often the context changes.
I certainly look back at school and you wonder, how did we come this far in the thing that we used to believe versus what we believe now? I listened to this talk show the other day, and they asked, what are some useless things that you learned at school that are no longer relevant today?
Pythagoras.
Yeah, the Stalin from Pythagoras. And the radio host said, you know, we were taught to write in cursive. And, you know, the moment you finish school, you know, every single form that you have to fill in is with block letters, you know. And when he said that, I was like, wow, it's so true. I mean, when last did I write cursive? When last did I even think about, you know, that that writing style? And yeah, so I think there's so many things that, you know, maybe it was useless at the time. Maybe in the 80s it was a thing. I suppose it was a thing. Otherwise it wouldn't have been there. What would both of you say is one thing that you were pulled out on? Like, this is what I believe, but you have now changed your mind and almost gone like a circle in your belief now on it.
I'll start with something simple, and it's rys vleis en aartappels. We were raised that is how you survive. That's the food you eat, rice, meat, and potato. You know, being Afrikaans, that was the food we had at home. That was considered healthy. And today, I'm not saying it's not healthy. I think everything in moderation. I just think it's about nutrition. And that was not always the best nutrition. Or the way we were eating it was not always the best nutrition. So if I can just start with something like that, then absolutely. Something that I see is evolving right now that I do not yet have an opinion about, and I'm just seeing a lot more of it. And the statement is, the rich do not buy, they rent. So that's definitely something I want to explore. Exactly, Odette. That was my reaction, my thoughts, my like, what's going on here? Why are they doing that? And it's simply that they own a lot of property, which they are renting out. So they're just renting something different while they are literally making money for themselves, and they're paying their rent based on the income that they're making. They move around a lot. They have this lifestyle. So I think a lot of the things that has changed. If I just look at the technology today, we had rules, and most people still have rules on how much time we must spend on our devices, especially for our children. I was set out on nothing during the week, only weekends, so much time. I've got all the screen blockers in place and all the parental guidance in place for all my kids and all their phones. And then they started using iPads for textbook at school. And now I'm like, I'm kind of screwed here. Because now they're not on YouTube, they're actually learning. And that theory went straight out the window. So I think things change. I think that's where I love black and white, so do you, Odette. But I've literally had to learn to color outside the lines, sometimes even just temporary, to adjust, to understand. And here's the question I'm asking myself lately. What will be the consequence? What is going to be the outcome of this? Instead of, no, that's not how I was raised. This is not how it's supposed to be. This is not how I know it. It's what is going to be the consequence of this decision.
Absolutely. For me, Pastor C, probably growing up, I don't know about you, Dr. J, but when I was growing up, they used to say, girls don't lift weights. Girls don't do that. Like, it's not a girl thing.
Yes.
Turns out when you're 40, you should be lifting weights, because if you don't, it impacts your bone density. And then you're going to be an old crooked lady who actually can't walk. So you have to lift weights. Hello. And actually, I enjoy it more. There's that fun little fact. And then on your thought or perspective on the rich that rent, I think people take it out of context. The rich rent because they own property. He who holds the land holds the power. Until someone can prove me differently, that will be my conviction. He who holds the land holds the power. You have zero power if you have zero land. End of story. That's what wars are about, land. Okay? So, yes, rich people rent because they already own the land. Let's just be clear. In terms of the things that I've had to confront, Pastor C, South Africa is still pretty conservative, I think, in most things, the way we raise our kids, the things we do. And Australia is very liberal about lots of things. So I'm constantly up against, but this is not how we did it. Or this doesn't feel right. This is different. Things like the kids here don't write exams until they're in like year 11 or something, just before they finish. So they've never had the opportunity to write an exam or to learn the skill of taking an exam, because taking an exam is a skill. My girls did cross country today, and Brianna was excited. Annabelle was like, I don't want to do it. My friends aren't doing it. Can't you just say no? And I said to her two things. I said, you're in because you can do it, which means some part of you has the ability to do it. I'm not going to make an excuse for you so that you can't, so that you don't have to go, so that you can say, I'm not going, and then cop out. And then she was standing at the starting block, and she said to me, I don't want to go to state because it's just, you're up against all these kids who run so fast. And I said to her, she's like, so I'm going to get to the end. I'm just going to, you know, back off and wait. And I said, so I won't allow you to do that. I will stand there and shout and I will embarrass you. You will run. And if you get into state, then we will address that when it comes. But if you don't, then I will still be proud of you because you gave everything. And there is that, should I be giving everything if I didn't want to do this in the first place? Because she didn't. Or is it okay for me to be laxy-daisy about it? And my perspective on that is, I get that she didn't want to do it. Running is not something she enjoys doing. But there's so much that she learns from the process of running, the endurance, the mental, you know, you run, the mental process, the stamina that goes into just making the first K, the second K, the third K, it's still worth it. So this whole thing about, yep, if you don't want to do it, don't do it. It's good. Only do the things that you like. No, she didn't want to do it. She didn't like it. But there's something that she's learning from this, and I'm going to support that she's learning this thing. Off topic on point.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I do agree with that. In society, we've become soft, you know, by not allowing people to do the thing that is testing them, but it's the thing that is going to develop, you know, the necessary things for the future within them. I'm thinking about it a lot now with obviously Christy, our son, is that like, what type of life do I want him to have? And then what type of circumstances does he need to go through that will prepare him for that life? You know, do I want him to have a hard life? Not really. Do I want him to have an easy life? Neither. I want him to be prepared for what life is going to throw at him. And, you know, we don't know what that is. And so that's why I believe it's important to have, you know, these difficult situations, circumstances that we do go through. And so, I quite like the fact that you keep on pushing them, regardless of how the outcome is. At the end of the day, you know, you went in it, you put an effort. But I wanna just circle back on something with regard to the reach, because we have two interesting perspectives there. Now, I've also heard a lot of the reach people say, you know, rent where you live, The idea around it is that, you know, it's not bringing in money for me, not an asset. And also they want to be liquid. They want to be able to move quickly. They want to move to a different state, or they want to, you know, move to a different country. You know, they want to be able to do that and not have the burden of trying to sell a property. And over the years, I would say I've definitely started thinking towards that. But then the flip side, you know, is where Odette says that, you know, he who owns the land, you know, rules it. I believe there's value in that as well. You know, is that if you look at, I think it's Hebrews, is it Hebrews 12, where it speaks about the fathers of faith, or the people of faith, all of them were land possessors. They all had land. That's the one thing they all had in common, is they had land. And so I truly believe in that as well. So then the question then comes is that, like, where do we stand with regards to that? Because is it possible that two things can be true at the same time?
Absolutely.
I think
it's
what
also
we need to point,
what you want from it.
Yeah. There's what you want and there's context, right? Rich people rent because they already own land. Yes, they want to move around. They want to do these things, but they're not renting because they don't own land. Ezekiel 38 talks about, at the end, occupy, possess, occupy, possess. Like, God wants us to occupy and possess. So I, and having said that, if you feel in your heart that you need to rent, go for your life. If you feel in your heart that you need to own, go for your life. Because God says, I will give you the desires of your heart, which means he places it there and then he fulfills it. He won't give you a desire for land ownership if that's not something he wants you to do. And that then won't be something that you'll have. You'll just be like, I want to be a nomad. And that's fine, because there were people who were nomads. That's okay. I think the important thing is that we need to understand the context within which this operates. And those people have structures around it. There's protection around that. It's not just open, I'm renting. There's more to it. And I think we need to be careful when we look at what other people are doing. We see the highlight. We see the outside. We don't see the detail. We don't see the structures. We don't see the protection. We don't see everything else that sits underneath it. And then the media will go and say, the rich rent. Yeah, but they already own land. And they have commercial structures around it. Yeah. And there's money coming in. And. But they don't tell you those things. They're just one headline. Rich people rent. There's stuff behind it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think there's a difference between the financial impact and the emotional impact. Because think about this. Is right now with us, I speak for you now, but the things that I think is important to us and priorities for us right now is that safety, is consistency, is stability. It's the things that really matters to us is having that for our children to create that environment. That for us weighs more than other things. And I think that's where we will stop. And that's why I say that for now, it might not always be like that, because the kids grow up, they go out and we're like, ooh, now we can go wherever we want. But for this period in time, that is what we would like the environment to be for our children. Will it change? They don't speak about how old they are, what phase of life they are, what season they are, how old the kids are. They don't speak about that. Like you say, it's just a headline. And I think most of us have to consider the financial part of it, or the financial aspect, but also the emotional aspect that goes with that. What is important to you? What is your priority now or for the next 10 years? I think that's the thing you need to also consider. Would you like moving around all the time? Me personally, no. I like the stability. I like the consistency. I like my home. I like my space. That brings me safety. That brings me, let me rather say, the feeling of safety. Because the feeling of safety is different for every person. For some people, the feeling of safety is finances. For me, the feeling of safety is consistency. It's the home. It's the stability. That, for me, is the feeling of safety. So you need to take yourself and your family and find out, where does your safety lie? Where does your priority lie? What is important to you and your family at this point in time before you make decisions like that?
How many times did you, Dr. Janine, when you were growing up, how many times did you guys move from house? Or
I grew up in one town. We moved house probably once. And then I moved to Porch, where I was studying. And I stayed there in the same place from beginning to end. And then I moved to Joburg. And here I've moved once or twice based on the priority of my children, the schools, the environment. And I think we're going to be here for quite some time. Again, until life changes.
I just wonder, do you have the same sentiment when it comes to cars? Do you have one car, like... for an extended period of time.
Ask me about cars. No, I've said before, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't gamble, I buy cars.
Yeah,
it's a hobby.
It's a hobby. I did yourself. Did you guys move a lot growing up?
Probably more than Dr. J. We lived in the Free State. Then we moved to Joburg. We lived in Klip River, Alberton, Bracken, then Glen Vista, Verwoerd Park. And then I moved countries. And when we came here, we couldn't buy a house, although we tried many times. That was just not, God didn't have that property. This is where we are now. And now we're here. And when we moved in, God said to me, you're not going to be here for long. So does that mean I don't own it? No, absolutely. Ownership is my goal. Like, make no mistake. I read it again this morning. Ezekiel 38 at the end talks about the destruction of the enemies of Israel. And then it talks about the ownership, the occupation, and the possession that Israel has. That's our promise. That's our right. And that ownership gives you security, it gives you safety, but it also creates a revenue generating stream. God wants you to prosper and everyone needs a place to stay. And it's kind of like in Australia, look, if you own land in Australia, you are golden. That's just the reality. Our land is skyrocketing. And yet we've got more land per person than I think most countries in the world, but we squeeze them into little slithers.
Crazy. As you both are speaking, I'm thinking about, you know, so I was born in Pretoria, then we moved to the East Rand in 1989. And we moved around quite a bit until we settled in 40 Frank Collins Street, Elspark, where we stayed for, since 94. And I think my parents sold that house just before COVID when they moved to Cape Town. And I'm thinking the reason why we moved so many times is because my parents, as far as I can remember, they were only renting those houses. They never bought the houses. And I'm now thinking, because a lot of the mentality like rent where you live, you know, comes from America or from the people that I've listened to in America. But I just wonder is their systems may be set up a little bit better where you can rent a very decent house in majority of the part of the country.
Already furnished.
For extended period of time. Already furnished. Where in South Africa, you know, it's normally a 12-month or a 6-month, you know, rental agreement. You know, you're not going to per se stay in somebody's house for forever. Like, I mean, I just spoke to my brother yesterday. They were renting a property and, you know, they wanted to buy the property and the owners just told him like in the week, listen, you got to be out in 2 or 3 months because we're moving back. So that's the one thing. The second thing is I've even looked at properties like in the last week. I'm thinking instead of buying, because we want to buy another house and so I was like looking at properties and I thought, why don't I look at renting similar to what we want? Lord Jesus, the condition of the places is absolutely, I'm like, no way. And I look at this place and I'm thinking like, there's two things happening. First of all, the builder and DIY, you know, project guy in me is like, wow, that we can make this space really great. I mean, there's so much potential. But on the flip side, I didn't realize, no, but you're only renting, you're not allowed to fix. So you can fix, but I mean, it's going into, you know, the owner of the house's property. And so I'm just thinking maybe, you know, we need, and both of you spoke about context, and I think it's absolutely key, is, you know, when we hear some of these concepts from different countries, from different people, is to also understand, but they're living in an environment that is conducive for that type of a lifestyle, where, you know, in South Africa, you know, it's not. Many years ago, I used to watch all these shows where they would flip houses. And I couldn't for the life of me understand how can you buy a house, completely demolish that thing, then rebuild it, renovate it, sell it within 30 days, 40 days. Like, how's it possible? Because in South Africa, I mean, you first got to, you know, knock down a wall that's going to take you 3 weeks, you know, just to break through the concrete. I mean, Dr. Janine, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you got to thread through like 3-4 layers of different bricks over the years that was built, and you know, then you gotta rebuild that wall, and you gotta wait for the cement to dry or for the plaster to dry before you can paint. And I mean, it's a total different aspect. And you can't just go and knock out a beam. I mean, the roof is gonna collapse because our building structures is a lot different, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I do believe that having context of these things are important, like both of you said. And maybe even some more research before we just jump into, you know, a methodology or, you know, something new that we believe in. I heard this from Oprah Winfrey. So Oprah Winfrey was the queen of television for many, many years. I see she also has a cool podcast now. But she did something interesting, is that at the end of every interview, she would ask the guest that she had on one simple question right at the end. And it was, what do you know for sure? What do you know for sure? And so let me pose that question to both of you. What do you know for sure? Without a shadow of a doubt, I know that I know.
Before I answer your I know that I know, in response to your maybe you should do some research, I heard a very interesting, actually a very powerful perspective on Proverbs. I forget exactly which one it is, but pulled out of the Hebrew context and what it says, and at the time what was playing out. The scripture translates to, the discerning heart has done the due diligence and the homework, and the ear is listening closely to hear what the Spirit is saying. It's not either or, it's and.
Yeah.
And what do I know for sure? Sure. I know for sure that that light is on. And so is that one. Everything else is perhaps open to interpretation. There are things that I thought I knew that I knew, that I was like, yeah, maybe I don't know. I know that Jesus loves me. I know that Jesus died on the cross, and I know that he rose again on the third day. I know that for sure. That's what I know for sure.
I've started saying that this will end well. I know for sure this is going to end well. I know we win. True. And therefore, I know that everything is going to work out for the good for me, right? It's going to end well. So no matter what happens, the first thing, because I believe in the law of first mention, I will say that this will end well for me. This will end well for my business. This will end well for my family. That's what I know for sure. No matter the facts, no matter the truth, no matter what I see, no matter what I don't see, I know that this will end well.
Mm.
I know that for sure.
So if it doesn't end well, it's not the end.
It's not the end. Exactly. I'm not done yet.
Mm. I like that. I'm not done yet.
Mm. Pastor C, what about
there's
you?
There's a lot of...
No, hold on. Back up, sir. Gup, what about you? Excuse you.
I asked the question.
Yes, well.
Life's great. Life's great. We just sometimes seem to miss the great moments.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe that life is great. We just sometimes seem to miss the great moments, you know. I'm doing my own research currently, as both of you will know. And yesterday, I was just really digging deep and looking back over my life, all the way back to, like, the first memory that I could remember I had. And then, you know, the first major impactful situation that took place within our life. And fast forwarding 35 years later, you know, did it pan out? Did it hurt the soul? And then I just once again came to the realization is that, you know, there's nothing that we can do all that we want to do to protect and to, you know, hinder, you know, our children, our friends, our family to go through certain things. And I believe it's good to try and do your best. But at the end of the day, whatever happens within our life, in the macro, in the bigger scheme of things, there's a purpose to it. If we can understand and, you know, make peace of that process that we go through, Romans 8:28 says that in all things, God works for the good, for those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. And so if I believe that in all things, God will work for the good. I don't know what people are facing. I don't know what you're going through. I'm not saying that, get over it and move on. I am saying that in time, you know, whatever that time frame might look at. But I truly believe that life is life. You know, life is meant to be hard. I think I've started to realize that. Well, I said life was meant to be hard. I'm not saying that we should struggle. I'm just saying that life is meant to be hard because the harder my life is, the better I'm prepared for what's coming. And Jesus said that, you know, be of good cheer. You know, in this life, you will face many trials, many tribulations. You know, he laid it out and said, listen, it's going to be tough, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In the end, we win. This will end well. Absolutely. You know, he died for me. He rose again on the third day. He loves me. Absolutely. And so if those things are a fact that I know for sure, then everything else that are happening are circumstantial.
And temporal.
And temporal, absolutely. So true. You know, and that's something that, you know, you hit the nail on the head there, Odette. I think people, they, you know, going back to a couple of weeks ago when you spoke about, you know, being stuck, is that, you know, it's fine to be stuck, just don't remain stuck. And it's like people think that, you know, the things that are temporal is going to last forever. It's not, you know. I remember the day when, you know, the girl I really liked at school, you know, made out with me. She broke up with me. Said, hey, come on. Said, hey, come on. With my husband.
There's a very different meaning to made out and break up.
Yeah, yeah. It's in Afrikaans. Yeah.
It's the Afrikaans getting to you there.
Yeah, she broke up with me. Yeah. I mean, my life was in a mess. I was like, this is it. You know, it's like, it's the end, you know? It's the end. You know, thank God we didn't stay stuck there. You know? And I mean, both ways. I mean, I probably, you know, I broke up with girls and they thought it was the end, you know? You know, I remember when I left primary school going to high school, there were some kids I was never going to see again. Maybe not that dramatic, but you know what I'm saying is that, you know, life goes on. There has been many, many, many situations in life where I thought this is going to last forever. It doesn't, you know. Dr. Janine shared with us the podcast of, what's it, Renner guy's name now?
I'll check now.
The guy that played. Mm. He got crushed with a snowmobile. Jeremy Renner, the actor that plays in Avengers, and he got crushed with a snowmobile. And you know, when you listen to his story and you listen to what he went through and, you know, how he just focused on one thing, And, but now after he's gone through it, it's like, there's nothing that can hurt me. You know, there's nothing that life can throw at me that's going to be worse than that. And I think when you come to that place in your life, you know, it's a good place to be because you live life unafraid of people, situations, circumstances. I'm not saying that you're oblivious to the fact that there's still going to be challenges. Absolutely. But there are some people that earlier in their life, they just have that experience where they realize that there's probably nothing worse that can happen to me. Yes, there might be terrible things that happen to people around me and situations and things that I'm not in control. But there's nothing that can be worse than this. And I suppose to an extent, you know, isn't that what having faith in Christ Jesus is that at the end of the day, whatever we go through, we know that we win. We know that he will work it out for us. We don't understand why. We don't understand the reasons behind it. We don't understand how long it's going to last. But we know for sure that it won't last. We will get through it. We will be more victorious. And life is going to be great. We must just get through these moments that, you know, is there for our betterment. we're growing us in life.
Well, to see,
so what do I know for certain?
I want to pause you before you continue, because I have this burning back. I need to say it. I feel like there's someone who's going to be watching this who needs to hear this, and not in the context of this is for your good, but you need to know that this is not permanent. You're going through stuff and you're struggling and you're like, when does this end? And I feel like God is saying it ends. It does end and it does get better. I'm reminded every time I speak to someone who's in a tough situation, the first thing that comes up is the thing that was meant to kill you didn't. And I want to remind you today, the thing that was meant to kill you, you thought this was the end. It was not. And you're still sitting there and you're like, I just don't know. You hold on, you stick it out and you stand up and you know that you win because God promises you victory. You know that this is not the end. I feel like there's a very strong, it's not going to last. Whatever it is you're going through, it's not going to last. Sorry, Pastor Seal.
No, we declare it. It's not going to last. It's not going to last. You know, I'm reminded, Dr. Alan Baggy, he mentioned this, and this is more in the area of finances, but I mean, principles are principles. It's universal. Where, you know, people say, but I'm still trusting God for my breakthrough. And he would say that your breakthrough is closer today than it was yesterday.
Yes.
Like I hear you. But just, let's just pause. It's the truth. It is closer today than it was yesterday. And I wanted to just say that on top of what you just mentioned about it's not going to last, is that what you are facing today is you are one step closer than you were yesterday. And in the midst of trials and tribulations, and when hell is breaking loose, and when you feel like there's no way out, it's important for you to understand and to know that there is progress that has been made and that you are close to the breakthrough. You are closer to the healing. You are closer to discovering your purpose. You are closer. That is the truth. It might not feel that way, but understand you are. And it's not that, you know, I can sit here and say that, you know, there's nothing that can hurt me more than what I've already gone through in my life. And it comes from a place of arrogance. It comes from a place of we've all been through stuff that's been really tough. And we made a decision that it's not going to get the better of us. We are going to overcome.
Yes,
the word says that we are more than overcomers in Christ Jesus. Through him that strengthens us, and we know that our strength comes from him. But we've made that decision that we are not going to become victims of this thing that has happened within our lives. And because of that, we have a different perspective when we look at things. Listen, it's still tough. It's still not nice. It still gets you down from time to time. But, you know, we might fall 7 times, but we're going to get up.
Yeah.
We are going to get up. And so I want to just, you know, emphasize, and I want to encourage whoever you are, whatever you're going through, that's all you have to do is get up.
Yes.
Just one more time.
Yes.
Just get up one more time. I hear you are writing down, Dr. Yanin, profusely.
I was thinking, if we override circumstance by experience. So, like we've got, that's how you're going to get through. That's how you're going to make it until you get to the end. And the end rarely looks like what you think it's going to look like. I'll give you an example that I really enjoyed. If you've watched the series Parenthood, the older couple, Zeke, and I'm not sure, I can't remember the name of the lady. The fact that I can remember Zeke is incredible. So the old couple, the mom and dad, they speak in the beginning about what they call their third act. In other words, they are now retired, and what are they going to do with their retirement? And they say, they're trying to figure this process out throughout the series, and the mom basically wants to go travel, she wants to paint, she wants to do all that. And Zeke is actually quite happy being at home, working on his cars, doing all these kind of things. And as you move through the series, and it's not giving away the end, I hope, but What happens, there's a grandchild. Let me rather just say that. And a new grandchild is born. And they ask the mom to move in with them. And she's like, no, I don't want to do that. What about your third act? I mean, we've planned all of this out. You know exactly what's going to happen. And she turns to her and she says, this is our third act. This is what we want for our third act. So in that place where you are now, you have an idea of how you think and how you want it to turn out. But like I said earlier, it's probably going to be different. And I can bet you it's going to turn out better than what you can even think about right now. And that's why I said that. Override circumstance with experience. You're in a circumstance. You're in a period of time now where it feels like circumstances is just more than what you can handle. Override that with experience. Because I say often that we do not and will never start from scratch again. We start from experience. So in yes. your life, there's been experiences and there's been events that has led up yeah. to certain places in your life. So it doesn't matter what you are going through right now, you've either been through a similar experience or something that you can draw experience from. And we draw experience from ourselves and our own circumstances and also by learning through others. We have the saying where we say we learn from mentors or mistakes. So which one are you going to learn from in this circumstance that you are? What events in yeah. your life and the lives of other people can you pull from to override this experience that you are currently in? Because the end is coming and it's better than what you yes. think.
Absolutely. I don't know if you have you seen this new trend where they say this... this challenge of 100 men against one gorilla.
Yeah.
So I don't know where, I don't know context at all. I just started seeing some of the clips where, you know, they would be like, you know, if you are the last 7 men that were called up, you know, and then they play a clip of the bomb squad, you know, the rugby guys and all of that. But so I can just imagine that, you know, the thought behind it is that, you know, one man can't kill a gorilla. So they need 100 men. You know, and so now they stacking up, you know, 100 men, the strongest, the toughest, the most feared men that can face a gorilla. And I'm just thinking it's interesting that it's impossible for one person to kill a gorilla. They need at least 100. And not just 100 any men, like 100 like warriors and guys that are crazy UFC rugby player dudes. Yet, when you look at the life of David, and just we recently started watching the House of David. And, you know, when you see a lion, well, I mean, we go to the bush a lot. You know, when you see that lion out there and you're like, wow, I think it's more than just the story in the Bible that we read as a kid, that David killed the lion. You know, I saw this one podcast of Joe Rogan where he shows a grizzly bear attacking a guy. That thing's huge. And then you think of David killed the bear, not as a warrior, but as a kid, like as a teenager. Mm. Because he stands before Goliath, which every warrior in the Israeli army feared.
Right.
And he stood before him and he said to him, I've killed the bear and I've killed the lion. Who are you, uncircumcised Philistine? And you know, when I listen to what you're saying, Dr. Yanni, it's like he overrides circumstance. He overrides where we're standing right now before Goliath, because he has already killed
yes.
the bear. He's already killed the lion. It's like what you said, Odette, is, you know, the research that you need to do. You know, it's like he has a case study. He's got case studies behind him, and therefore, it's not words of arrogance when he says to Goliath, who are you? It's not words of slander, but it comes from a place of, I know what I'm talking about because I have the evidence. I have the data. I've done this before. You know, I've been in the simulation. And I can just imagine David being in the field and here comes a bear and feeding one of the sheep. probably thinking to himself, why is this happening? You know, why is this happening to me? Yet not know that it was preparation.
So good.
For the day that he will stand on that battlefield. And maybe we're sticking to the segment here because once again, just want to encourage whoever it is that are going through something that's unbearable. So I want to encourage you is that there is hope, this hopelessness. And one day, the things you cried about today will be the stepping stones that you will defeat the giants of your life. You will still face giants, but you will look them in the eye and you will say to them, I have killed the bear, I've killed the lion. Who are you, uncircumcised Palestinians, that defiles the armies of the living God? And so I want to encourage you that God is on your side. There's a portion of scripture I just read in John 15, verse number 7. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. If you can abide in him, if you can find your strength and your refuge within him, I know that you will bear much fruit. There will be a blessing in the thing that is holding you back today.
It's good.
Powerful.
I feel like that's a
mic
drop.
Can we pray for the people?
Yes, I think so.
We're definitely off topic, but we're on point.
Yes.
And so, Father, we come to you in this day. And Lord, we just want to be vessels that can be used by you. That's all that we are. We're simply vessels that are used by you. And Lord, even on this platform, even on this podcast, Lord, we want to honor you. And we want to be sensitive that when you move, we want to move with you. We never want to move against you, Lord. We want to move with you. And so, Lord, we might not know the reason. We might not know the situation, the circumstances that people are facing, and the reason why even our discussion today has led us to this point. But one thing we know is that there is a purpose in everything that you do. And so, Father, we pray right now for those people that might find themselves in a place that's unfamiliar. They might find themselves in a place that's unstable. They might find themselves in a place that's unbearable. And so, Father, we pray and we declare that you will give them strength, that you will uphold them, that you will uplift them, that in this time and in this moment, that the Spirit of the living God will move and rest upon them like never before. And Father, we declare that in this situation, you will give them the strength to get through it in the mighty name of Jesus. And so we speak blessing, we speak deliverance, we speak a great outcome for them, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Even those, Father, that might not know you, I pray right now that you will reveal yourself to them. That Jesus Christ is Lord. He died. He rose again on the third day and he's alive right now. And we thank you for the gift of eternal life. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, on that, Pastor C, is remember to send us your questions. I think there will be some interesting questions after this episode, maybe on renting, finances, possession. It's going to be interesting. So send us your questions. Let us answer it in our next podcast and give you some feedback on those things and the things that you're wondering about.
Thanks for joining us. See you next time.